welcome to this week's message from Michelle Carter, Senior Pastor at Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
It's Phil and Eilish. It is so good to be here today and so great to be able to talk to you. It feels like an exciting weekend, a significant weekend. The Prime Minister has just announced the easing of lockdown, and I don't know about you, but I am really looking forward to spending time with family and friends more than I have been doing now, although even in this season we've been able to do that, and I have been loving it. But I've been talking to you, it feels like both ends of lockdown. Last time I shared a message was the beginning of lockdown, when the supermarket shelves were empty, when we were seeing pictures on the TV of people in India having to kind of leave the cities to go back home, and we were so excited to even have got some toilet paper when we were shopping. And I shared a message, if you remember, at the beginning of lockdown around the book of Ruth. It was called Isolated But Not Alone. And we read the story of Ruth, a Moabite girl who married a Hebrew man when their family had left their land because of lack of food. And then while they were living in Moab, all the men in the family tragically died. And so Ruth and Naomi were actually left together, travelling back to Bethlehem. And I shared a message around their lives because it just felt like at that time their lives, dealing with emptiness, dealing with loss, was very similar to what was going on in our world at that time. And they went from having, I imagine, full lives with, you know, family and dinners and parties and celebration and, you know, normality, work life, to having a life that was stripped bare. And for many of us, that's what it felt like at the beginning of lockdown. And we got into this season where people were almost in their own little bubble. It was like themselves and their families were in their own bubble, either, you know, the bubble of key worker living in, or older person isolating at home, or family all working from home and trying to do the whole homeschooling thing, or the police and the social services that just had to keep going and put their kids, you know, in school, whatever was going on. And it was like there was all these different bubbles going on, and there was a lack of understanding, and people were putting on social media, there was anger, there was frustration, there was suspicion, and all of this was rife. You know, but wherever you were within that bubble, for all of us, life changed in some way. Our patterns were different, our freedoms changed, our support networks were different, and we all had to start being more purposeful at finding community. Or if not, we would just let it drift and we ourselves would lose that community. And I left you with three challenges. And these challenges were, will you step into community? Will you embrace the new? Will you get hold of technology? Will you start understanding new ideas and new opportunities? Will you keep hoping and trusting that we will come through this, that God is going to do something incredible in this season? And will you love deeply and not falter? And all the way through lockdown, we've had opportunities to do all of these things. And I just want to say now, on behalf of Ed, myself and all at Valley Church, a massive thank you for everyone who has stepped in, for everybody who has stepped up and who has embraced the new and who hasn't let that beat them. And I'm just so grateful that as a church, we've been able to also be a blessing to our community because of your hearts, because of what you have done. And so I just want to say really a huge thank you on behalf of our community for everyone that has given, everyone that has made masks, everyone that has been part of what we have been able to do to be a blessing to those around them. You know what? But even if you haven't been able to do that till now, this story has a part two. And I love this about God, that there's always more. There's always a new beginning. There's always something that is going to be a new opportunity for us. And so as lockdown eases, as our freedoms begin to grow, then our lives are going to get bigger and have, again, more opportunity. And so I've got a privileged few minutes to chat with you today about some of these things. So I'm going to pray. And then we're going to continue with the story of Ruth. So let's pray. So God, we thank you so much that with you there is always a new beginning. There is always more. God, we thank you that you have new opportunities waiting for us in this season. God, that you want us to grow our worlds and to have a bigger life. And so I pray that you will speak through my words, God, that you will speak directly into our hearts, God, that we will hear your voice and that we will have the courage and the insight and the wisdom to be able to walk in the steps you have for us. So God, I thank you that you are with us, and we pray right now that you will speak to each and every one of us in Jesus' name, wherever we are. Amen. 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 So the story of Ruth. So I'll just give you a quick catch up for those of you who don't know the story or didn't listen last time. As I said, Ruth and Naomi is her mother-in-law, are back in Bethlehem. They're both widows. They have no income, although we are told they have some land to sell. Now, we don't know what that looks like. We don't know if they'd leased the land out while they were away, because we find Ruth gleaning. Now, gleaning is basically gathering the crops that have been left on the outside of the fields. You see, the Israelites had laws that protected the foreigners and the widows. And one of those laws meant that if you had land, you had to leave the bits of the crops that were in the outside of the fields and not collect them, so that if anyone was in need, they would be able to go and they would be able to get their own food by collecting it. They would then go and grind it, and then they would take it home and be able to use the grain. And so we find Ruth is gleaning from a field of a man called Boaz. And Boaz is just so kind to her. And he tells his men to look out for her. He even tells them to leave bits of barley for her to collect to make sure that she's looked after and doesn't go anywhere else and get into danger. And so Ruth goes home and she tells Naomi all about Boaz and the fields that she's been gathering in. And Naomi then, in her mind, creates this plan and suggests to Ruth a way to help them as a family to be rescued. And it all relies on an old Jewish law called the law of the kinsman redeemer or the guardian redeemer. And it's probably not a very PC law in our day and age, but basically this law would mean that if you were the closest male relative, it would be your obligation to take on the responsibilities of the person who died. And that would include their wife and looking after their family and their land. Basically setting up the land so that the family name will continue. And we have a beautiful picture of Ruth in a very traditional way going to Boaz in the middle of the night, lying at his feet, basically asking him to redeem her and Naomi and the land. And we pick the story up now by reading from Ruth chapter 3, verse 10. "The Lord bless you, my daughter," Boaz replied. "The kindness that you are showing now is greater than what you have shown earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And Boaz said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. And then we'll continue at chapter 4, verse 1. "Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there, just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, 'Come over here, my friend, and sit down.' So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, 'Sit here,' and they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, 'Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line.' 'I will redeem it,' he said." He was very keen to get the land. "Then Boaz said, 'On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you will acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. At this, the Guardian Redeemer, not so sure now, said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself, I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party would take off his sandal and give it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the Guardian Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself." And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today, you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today, you are witnesses." Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son." And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of King David. So there was another relative, closer than Boaz, who could have taken care of the women. We don't know very much about him. We don't even know his name. But we read that Boaz saw him at the town gate and asked him if he wanted to buy the land, and quite liked that idea. But he soon changed his mind when he realized that it would affect his family. He didn't want to look after Ruth and Naomi and take on more responsibility. It kind of seems a strange idea for us, but the law was written to protect the vulnerable and to look after the women. And as I said, the person who was closest was called a kinsman redeemer or guardian redeemer. And this was an absolutely beautiful example of what God has done for Jews throughout history, starting when he freed them in captivity from Egypt, all the way through to what Jesus has done on the cross for us. You know, Jesus came to buy us back. He's paid the ultimate price for our lives so that we can live in freedom, so that we don't need to be tied down by all the things of our past, by our sin, by the things that would control us, by the things that would harm us. Actually, God has paid the price for those by sending his son to the cross. And if you've never heard that truth today, or if you're saying, "I've heard it, but I've never actually accepted it for myself," then at the end, Phil and Eilish are going to spend a few minutes just giving you the opportunity to do that and to walk into all that God has for you. Because Jesus wants to be your kinsman redeemer. He wants to buy you back. He's already paid the price. And I just love that thought. So you can do that at the end. But for now, I just want to spend a few minutes considering Boaz and the other relative. You see, they both had the same opportunity. In fact, you could argue that the other relative had a bigger opportunity because he was actually the closest to the women. They both had other commitments. They both had family. They both had land. They both had businesses. We don't know if Boaz was married. It doesn't say anything about his family that way. But we do know they had other things going on in their lives. And they were both men of resource. They both had enough money to buy the land. And, you know, you and I, we have all those three things. We have opportunity in our life, especially at the moment. You know, we have commitments and we have resource. Just by living where we live at the moment, we have resource because we are in the UK and we are privileged. But with lockdown easing, we have opportunity to then step back into a bigger life. And we've lived in this last 3 months in a time and a season that has been limited by someone else, not necessarily by ourselves. But now we are able to again open up the door of opportunity. And it's up to us how much we walk into that and how much we walk into what God has for us. So what was it particularly that Boaz had on his life that helped him to fulfill his purpose and actually helped him to become significant in history? Because he did become significant in history. All those words that we have just read about, the words that say, you know, I just believe that your name will be heard forevermore and in the future, all of that has happened because we are still today talking about Boaz. So what was it for him that made him significant in history? Well, the first thing is this. God was important to him. God was important to Boaz. And how do we know this? We know this because in Ruth chapter 2, verse 4, it says this. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they answered. He was speaking a blessing over his harvesters. And I just love that thought. It wasn't a one-off because they had a response. And he was known for being a man of God. He was diligent to obey the law. He was diligent to obey what God had set out. There was things in the law that protected the widows, the orphans, the foreigners. And what related to Boaz was the fact that the edges of the fields had to be left for those who were traveling by or coming through who needed help. And they would come and they would harvest their own crops. And I love that idea. But not only that did he do that, he also had a generous spirit. He said he instructed his workers to take out extra barley and leave it for Ruth. So that, you know, to make sure that she had enough, to make sure that she was well looked after. And then he fulfilled his responsibility, as we've just been looking at, as a guardian redeemer. He listened, he fulfilled the whole of scripture. Whatever impact was on his life, you know, he fulfilled what the Bible said. And that is why we know that he was a man after God's heart. We know that he was, that God was important to him. Secondly, Boaz was won over by Ruth's noble character. It says in chapter 3, verse 11, it says, all of the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Boaz didn't have his head turned for the next fun thing, for the next thing that was happening, but Boaz had his head turned by someone of noble character. And if we were to look forward to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, when Samuel the prophet was anointing the next king of Israel, he was presented with guys who were tall and strong, all brothers. But God had chosen the youngest brother, David, to be king. And David himself was actually a descendant of Boaz. And it says these words in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. It says this, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Boaz was won over by Ruth's noble character. And thirdly, we know he lived a big life. Boaz lived a big life, and we know that because he had staff, he had fields, and he was open to new opportunities. And it was in the end that it meant these opportunities meant kingship for his family. King David was in his family line. Honor, blessing, and wealth did follow Boaz from this point. And Boaz became an ancestor of Jesus himself. His name remembered for all time in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Boaz had a big life and an open heart. And I just wonder today, as we're coming out of lockdown, how's your heart? Is it open to the opportunities? As Boris Johnson said this week, as we come out of this long hibernation, are you looking forward to a big life? And we all know that as we come out, some things are going to hit us and there's going to be things that try and steal our purpose. But we also know that forewarned is forearmed, and the devil himself has a limited toolkit. He uses the same things over and over again. And if you've been on this journey for a while, then you'll know what the things that he'll try and put in your way of opportunity. Things like fear. He'll try and keep you locked up. And if you let fear will hold you back. But if you know this, you can get some help. You can get some prayer. You can go to God. You can get your Bible out and read 365 times in the Bible. We're told not to fear. Fear keeps purpose in the cupboard. Let's not let that stop our opportunity. Or comfort. There's a fable, a story. If you put a frog in a pan of boiling hot water, the frog will jump straight out. But if you slowly warm it up, it doesn't realise the danger and it boils to death. A bit gruesome, I know. But comfort is a little bit like that. You know, if our eyes are on a purpose, then we are not going to get distracted from our purpose. We're not going to get seduced by comfort. But 3 months at home, for many, church has been easy, comfortable. We've taken our eyes maybe off our purpose and started to ask, oh, maybe church online is better. Is it really important to meet in person? I quite like being at home, to be honest, making my lunch after church on a Sunday morning. And ease, if we're not careful, can take a seat in our soul. I'm not sure I can do this every week. Slowly, ease, comfort, lethargy slips in, and before long, purpose has walked out the door. Thirdly, distraction. Distraction is cunning. Distraction can be something good as well as something bad. And so if we're not careful, we don't even notice it happening. It can be anything from, you know, doing your work to watching a Netflix series to helping a friend or checking your phone. It can be just doing something that is totally different to the purpose that God has on your life. And the thing about distraction is this: distraction stops you noticing that purpose is banging on your door because your eyes and your ears are so full of everything else. Distraction stops you noticing that purpose is banging on your door. Or fourthly, holding on to hurt and pain. You can be holding on to hurt and pain so much that your hands are full and you have no room for your purpose. Fifthly, shame. Shame and guilt keep your head so low that you can't even see the purpose before you. Or insecurity, which stops you taking a step. Or maybe indecision, that maybe you start running after your purpose, but you never dive in. And I'm sure you can think of more. And I don't really want to dwell on the things that can hold us back, but I just wanted to raise them and put them in our minds. Because, you know, whatever is the thing that would seek to hold you back, God is the most important person in your life. And as long as you have your focus on him, her purpose will be marked out for you. You see, none of the tools of the devil, none of the things that I've mentioned can stop you and hold you back. They can't keep you down as long as your eyes are fixed on him. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Put on the full armor of God. Christian, if you're watching today, are you ready to step into all that God has for you? Are you ready to put on the full armor of God? Are you ready to walk out into the future, look at the opportunity that is in front of you, and embrace the purpose that is on your life? Will you step out of lockdown ready to embrace a bigger life, a bigger purpose, with your eyes open, ready to see what God is doing, to see the possibilities that he has put before you? I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand back to Phil and Eilish. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the story of Ruth and Boaz. God, we thank you that you have purpose on our lives in the same way, God, that you had purpose on his life. And God, in the way that Boaz embraced the opportunity, God, in the way that Boaz looked for character, God, in the way that Boaz looked for a bigger life and allowed his life to grow, God, I pray that you will help each and every one of us, God, as we walk out of this season into a new season, God, to look at what you have before us and to say, God, I'm here, send me. So God, I pray for every person who is watching today, God, that they may know that you are with them. God, that they may know that you have strengthened them. God, that they may know that, God, that you have within you all that they need, that as they look to you, God, they can trust you with their future. God, that they can walk into new things with you right beside them, God, and they can know, God, that there is nothing that they cannot accomplish in you. So God, we thank you so much for this story. We thank you for this time, and we pray your blessing on each and every person today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.